Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. Tonight's topic is going to be how to transform negativity into the light. I'm having difficulty getting hold of Kat, so let me play a song for you, one of my favorites by a New Thought singer by the name of Jennifer Farron, and I shall be back. This is Throw It All Away by Jennifer Farron. And that was part of a song called Throw It All Away by Jennifer Farron. I do have Kat on the line. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you. So glad to be on the line.
Yeah, me too. Well, we do have a caller. Let's just touch base and see who we have here. And then we will... Oh, I think it's Regina. Let's just double check here. Let's see. Is this Regina?
It is Regina. Hi, David.
Hooray,
hi, Kat.
Regina. Thank you
Yay.
For hanging in there.
Happy
be with
Sunday.
Us again. Right. Well, I'm going to leave your mic open, and we'll all get a chance to talk about the topic, which, as I mentioned, is how to transform negativity into the light. And I don't know who would like to start first. Kat?
Oh, okay, yeah, I'll start. So I've been thinking about this topic and where to start with it. And the place really seems to be, you know, if you're going to be talking about negativity, let's talk about in terms of people's experience within themselves, and therefore it's in their thinking. And so if you're thinking negatively, and if people are telling you that you're a negative thinker, and someone says you've just got to start thinking positively, well, that doesn't work because you're in a habit, and that habit is to think in a negative way. So the way to transform your thoughts into positive thoughts is actually to stop thinking specific negative thoughts and start thinking general negative thoughts. And I know this sounds counterintuitive because you would think, oh, well, no, I'll just go from absolute negative to absolute positive. That's what people tell me to do. But, you know, that's not practical. It doesn't work that way. You need to go into general negative. And from general negative, you can jump into positive negative. So positive thinking. So we go general. So if you were to, for example, be saying to yourself, I'm really angry with my ex-partner. He or she did some awful things. Now I'm bankrupt. You know, now I have mortgage and no money, or they slept around, or whatever it is. That's just a hypothetical. Say, for example, instead of focusing on that person, because what happens is you have these angry negative thoughts that are specific, and then other automatic negative thoughts start to rise up. And when you meet people, your conversation tends to be negative. And you're talking about things that are bad, things that have gone on, what other people have done. It's all very negative. So what we want to do is stop that. Catch yourself. You become self-aware. So you start to know that you're in a pattern of feeling and talking negatively because your face screws up in a certain way. It's not a relaxed face. It's not your most beautiful face. It's a sort of tense face. So you start to become aware of your face. And then you start to become aware of how your face is feeling. And you start to become aware of where else the negativity is in your body. And so you take a few deep breaths and you begin to relax your face and you begin to relax your body. And instead of saying, my ex-partner's an a-hole, I hate him, I hate everyone, blah, 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 whatever you're starting to think, you just think, oh, it's a crap day, it's too hot or it's too cold, you know, general thoughts that are negative. And that's a good, it's actually good because we're getting out of a mindset of specifics, we're going into generals. Then from there we can go into general positive. So because you've had said to yourself, oh, it's too hot or it's too cold, you can start saying, oh, it's a nice breeze though. Oh, you know, actually it's winter and the bit of sun on my skin feels good. Or it's summer, but, you know, it's hot, but I can go swimming. And you start to think about general positive things. And then from there, you can leap into specific positive. You can start going into positive, you know, my ex was an a-hole, but these are the things I learned. I'm so pleased about that. Actually, I can look forward to a lot of positive things because of that. I mean, the first ex-partner that I had, highly significant.
Hello?
Kat, are you still there? Okay, let me try calling you back. Regina, hang in there. I'm going to play Jennifer Farron's song again while I call Kat. Okay. All right, folks, here we go. Back to throw it all away. Back to the beginning of it.
Trauma that can
I think we have Kat back through the beauty of Facebook. Kat, I'm just turning on my volume so that I can hear you. Are you there, Kat?
Yes, I am.
Okay, beautiful. Can you pick up the thread of where you were talking, or do you
want? Yeah. So I was just talking about an experience in my own life when I broke up with somebody who left me feeling quite angry. I had to train myself out of feeling angry because I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to live my life that way. So one of the things that I do is I think about something that this person taught me, and this person taught me to drive. So whenever I'm in my car, I often have a positive thought moment about that person because they taught me to drive. And it means I'm not sitting there thinking about all the horrible things that went on, because there were. There were a lot of horrible things. And that person was going through their lessons and in their life and paid a lot of karma for the decisions that they've made. So I don't feel that I need to be in anger. So that's what I do. And that keeps me in specific positive mode with everything that I have in my life, because I don't want to slip into specific negatives anymore. But the transition is specific negative, general negative, general positive, specific positive. What do you think, David?
Well, I think that you've described the situation that I've been in this evening and how I've come full circle in the course of the last hour. I came home and discovered a mess and was not happy, and I talked to my partner about it, my husband, and God bless his soul, he reacted and took it as an attack. And I became upset myself. I told him I was at my wit's end, and I did not yell. I was speaking from a place of, extreme discomfort, but I was not yelling, and he perceived me as yelling at him. And so I asked him to help me out, and he begrudgingly did and came down and cleaned up his mess. And I said, you know, I just don't know if I can keep living like this. And he threw a hissy fit and went upstairs. And then he came back to me later and calmly told me what he was going to do. And so I went in and started doing some things in his presence. And he was calm. And I felt calm. I was shifting my perspective and starting to see him as just a hurting child of God who was acting out his own stuff, and I was taking it on. And I was reading up on this topic, and there were a number of suggestions that were made, and I really like what you were saying, Kat. I think that for me, what I did is that I shifted into this place where I was feeling a great deal of discomfort and getting into some negative thinking and negative projecting, into just accepting that I was in a bad space and that I needed to do something about it. And that was simply to go about my business and make myself present when my husband had calmed down. And so we ended up experiencing some healing and having a civilized discussion. And I went from a place of near despair to just feeling whole again. And I know that there are things that need to be ironed out. No relationship is perfect. And I believe that it's important to talk through things, but to stop complaining. And what I was reading about complaining is that it's only useful if you use it as a catalyst for positive change, and that the more important thing to do is to start problem solving when one falls into a place of complaint. And I just was relating to the topic in terms of my past, what's worked and what hasn't worked. And I experienced years of suicidal depressions, and I thought that I had to handle things myself. And I found that the most important thing for me to do was to reach out for help, to get out of myself. And one of the best ways I found to get out of myself was to be helpful to other people. And, you know, you attract what you focus on. And I used to not have the tools to shift my focus. And today I surround myself with positive people, places, and things. And that's what keeps me sane and above water and moving in a positive direction. And that's all I have to say at present. Regina, what would you like to add?
Oh, yes. I'm identifying with a lot of the resources. I also suffered from suicidal depression for many years. And by the grace of God, I think the first process that helped me was to understand this was the Course in Miracles. Because I took a course in the late 70s, I believe, just a little introductory course, 3-day course. And at the end of that 3 days, my husband left me. And I didn't know at that point in time, but that was my miracle. But I had to, you know, go through the course and understand about forgiveness. One of the things was forgiveness. And the biggest part of forgiveness was forgiving me, because a friend had helped me look at where I was sitting in the God spot. I was not forgiving my own self and keeping myself in misery. And by the time I could get off my own back and find some lightness in my life, that helped tremendously. And a number of years ago, I also had the gift of doing this type of therapy with a neighbor of mine. The book was called Feel Good Therapy. And it was looking at your thoughts, identifying, you know, running them down, because my thought chain was quite often very negative. And so I had to identify the type of thinking I was doing and correcting it. And that was a great miracle to me, is correcting my negative thinking and, you know, identifying it and correcting it, watching it. Number one, watching it. And one of the greatest aha moments I had was from a cartoon. And it was this bus going around the corner on a mountainside. It was on a road, and it was going around this corner. And you saw one fella on the bus, and he was on one side, and he was looking at the dark mountainside. And the other fella on the bus was looking out towards the ocean. And it was like, oh, you just have to change your point of view. And that was such a revelation for me. It's, oh, you know, I'm in charge of my thoughts and I can think them. Think what I choose to think. And another sentence I read that enlightened me was, Abraham Lincoln also suffered from depression, and he said, people are as happy as they make their minds up to be. And okay, another great revelation. Oh, I can make my mind up to be. You know, it's like freedom of choice. But before, I didn't know. You know, this was the family pattern of the women suffering and bemoaning their fate and woe is me-ing. You know, and I still struggle because I drove those paths of sadness into my brain so I can fall into those ruts again. So it's always boom, 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 being on the moment, getting, you know, watching my thought pattern because I can do it, you know, like a very easy, but I remember one time my mother was going to get into this self-pitying mode, woe is me, you know. And I said, Mom, we can't afford the luxury of self-pity. You know, it's like wallowing in a pig wallowing in mud. We just can't afford that luxury of boo-hooing about myself, my circumstances. So I think I'm rattling on here, but, you know, I love this topic because I know, you know, the lotus blooms from the mud. It's, you know, we all rise from the pain, and if we know. So I think, you know, I'm still struggling with it. You know, I have some people that live near me that don't like me, you know, and I get into attitudes of, you know, it's kind of protective of protecting myself from their dislike of me. As long as I don't dislike myself, you know, and with one person in particular, I have a certain prayer I say immediately when I see her so I don't get into the negative thinking. But the other ones, I have difficulty sometimes when people, number one, don't seem to be paying any karma for their misdeeds. They seem to be flourishing, and they still are giving you a hard time. That I have a hard time with. So maybe I'm looking for some more illumination about that. You know, they're not. They're doing very, very well. And they don't suffer because, you know, of how they've profited in an unethical way, let's say. So I think that's all I have to say right at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Regina. You said more than a mouthful, and I do mean that in a most positive way. I loved you bringing up the example of Abraham Lincoln and his philosophy, and I think there's so much to be said about being aware of what's going on in our minds, and to use that as the starting point for moving from negativity to positivity, as Kat was saying, to make it more general and less specific, and then start to think about more positive things that you can do, because you can't jump from the bottom of the ladder to the top of the ladder. You have to climb the rungs. Isn't that what you were saying, Kat?
Yeah, it's a vibrational jump that isn't practical. Because even if you go, I'm going to get up there, and right now I'm going to be in specific positive mode, I'm going to be really, really happy, you've still got unresolved stuff going on that's caused you to think in a negative way. So you might have a moment of euphoria, but, you know, they're maddening because they're not they're not consistent. So they're just a positive negative. So you really need to, you know, bubble up and bring yourself up gently. You know, it's what's that illness you get if you rise from the seafloor when you've been diving too quickly and you have to go in a hyperbaric chamber?
The bend.
It's like that.
Regina said it was the bends.
The bends, that's right. Yeah, so if you can imagine that it's that for your mind. You need to vibrate up nice and gently and get yourself up. One step at a time. It's not a race. If you've been through something traumatic or like a chronic negative time, you're going to take a while to get yourself in a place where you're consistently thriving in your thoughts. That's good. That's part of the journey. It's only good. Things that you need to pinch away from. Don't gossip. Gossip is negative. Gossip hurts yourself and others. Avoid gossip. It's vexatious. I don't watch gossip on television, I don't read gossip magazines, and I don't gossip to my friends. And, you know, to gossip means that you may have a group of people around you that you see a lot and you think that they're your friends, but if they're gossiping to you about other people, then they're gossiping to other people about you. Mm-hmm. So that's one, that's a big one. And if somebody comes to me and they start gossiping, I immediately know I cannot trust that person. So I will avoid meaningful communication with that person. I respect them as a human being, but I will avoid a meaningful communication with that person because they are a gossip. So that's one. Beating yourself up all the time, and I'm not any saint in this one. I'm a perfectionist. So I will really beat myself up. And yesterday I went to karate grading, and anyone who's been through that kind of grading knows it can be quite grueling. And I beat myself up thinking that I wasn't going to grade because I didn't think that I had executed everything perfectly. And they graded me because I was good enough. And they obviously saw something in me that I didn't see in myself because I was trying to be perfect, which is my own problem with myself. I'm aware of it. But that means also I'm going to strive. I'm driven. I'm going to strive to be better. But I shouldn't beat up on myself. And I think that a lot of people do that. So we have to check that. And you know, if for your brain health anyway, automatic negative thoughts, ants, the studies that have shown that they can contribute to the aging process of the brain. So we want to keep those thoughts positive about yourself. And try and focus on, like we talked about last week, the basic good. Something that Regina said really struck a chord with me. I couldn't quite hear everything that you were saying. I really apologize, Regina, because I usually like to reflect on what the guest is saying and really highlight something amazing that they said, but I just really couldn't hear you very well. So I did pick up on that you said that people have a choice about the way that they think, and it is true. When you start to become self-aware, and it's not hard to become self-aware, by the way. It's a choice in itself. You just say to yourself, all right, well, I know that an unlikable trait of mine is to pick my nose. So I'm going to become self-aware when I start getting the urge to do it. And I'll catch myself doing it. And then next time I'll stop when I'm doing it, and then the time after that I'm going to stop before I do it, and then I'm going to click my fingers before I do it. I've got little kids that pick their nose. So that's why I thought of that one. I personally don't do it, okay? All right? But, you know, and I'm actually training them to stop doing it because it is kind of disgusting. But, when we become self-aware, we advance in ourselves as a soul. So it is really an important place to go. And you can catch yourself with anything. And it doesn't mean immediately you're going to change. It means you're going to catch yourself. You're going to catch yourself during the act of doing something or thinking or saying something negative. And then the next time you're going to catch yourself right at the beginning of it. And then the next time you're going to catch yourself when you've got the urge to do it. And then the next time you're going to catch yourself when the thought to do it happens, but the urge isn't quite there. And then you're going to catch yourself when the belief about it starts to well up. And then that's when you can really make the change. So, you know, the topic was negative going into the light. And the light is enlightenment. It's enlightening yourself, becoming higher, becoming brighter, becoming more vibrant, becoming a thriving human being. And it's a process. It's not a magic pill. There is no magic pill. There is only the process, just like anything else. And if you've ever filled out forms and gone with government, you know there's a process, and it goes with everything. That's just the way humans are. I think I've spoken enough just now.
Thank you, Kat. You always are very eloquent and have wonderful things to say. I especially liked your example about picking the nose. Well, you know, we are human, and it's normal to have negative emotions. And I was thinking about this tendency to beat ourselves up. And, you know, if I have a negative feeling or a negative thought, I have to first acknowledge that I am human, and that's part of my human experience, and I don't need to beat myself up for that. But the question is, what can I do? You know, it's important that we recognize triggers. Tonight, I can see where I made a mistake in that I made a contact about something that was bothering me before I had a chance to just sit down and breathe and take some time to put my I'm struggling to find the right words for it. I was triggered by the mess in the kitchen. And I immediately called up my husband and told him that I could not tolerate this kind of mess and that I was at my wit's end and that I needed help. And that only served to trigger him into a place of negativity. And then it fed from there. And so it is important to manage our reactions and express our thoughts and feelings in a healthy way. And then it's possible to start transforming negative energy into positive energy. And boy, that is not easy. But we do have to focus on changing ourselves before we can expect the world to change on our behalf. And I was expecting a miracle, and I got it later on, but not at that moment in time. So I think that we really need to take some time out sometimes. And I think it's very important not to respond to triggers, to give it a chance to just percolate through our brains as to what we might want to say to another person. And you know, some of the other things that when I was looking at this topic online, some of the things that were said was how important it is to laugh. And, you know, that's a great way to de-stress. And to change your lifestyle with positive energy, to be aware of your environment, but not to let it consume you, and to surround yourself with positive people. I was talking about that, how important it is for me to surround myself with positive people, places, and things. And that's something that I first learned through 12-step recovery, and it makes perfect sense. If I have a drinking problem and I stick with people that have been part of my past when I was drinking excessively, and people that are having problems with alcohol, that's only going to feed something that's unhealthy for me. Likewise, bars were not a safe place for me to go for quite a while. And, you know, some of the things that I needed to realize were that, you know, I could do something more positive, like meditate. Just breathing is a great form of meditation and a great way to de-stress and to let go of negative energy. I think it's important to look at what we might perceive to be challenges as opportunities to grow, to learn, and to, you know, I heard it said in Alcoholics Anonymous that the answer today is the solution to all of my problems. Well, I like to let go of the notion of problems and think in terms of solutions. I find that's a much more positive way to move past what I might perceive to be a negative. So there are a lot of different ways that we can transform negativity just through the way that we look at things. Regina, do you have any other thoughts that you'd like to share?
Well, I'm going to try to talk into the speaker because I was talking on speakerphone and I don't think it travels as well if I talk right into the phone. So I'm sorry that Kat couldn't hear me clearly, and I don't want her to struggle.
Well, just to let you know, Regina, what we're doing now is Kat is talking to us via Facebook because we had a problem with the telephone. And let's just do a reality check with Kat. Kat, are you hearing her any better now?
Yeah, she still sounds very tinny, like she's speaking into a can, but I can understand the words that she's saying.
Okay. Go ahead, Regina.
Okay. I remember as a child speaking into cans, you know, with my brother. can you hear me now? That was so much fun, you know, the things that we did. But I, too, have AA as a great resource. And you can start your day over at any time was always a beautiful thing for me. You know, if I had messed things up, oh, well, it's not all over. I'll just start over. And here we go. We can start it over. So I messed up, and we continue on. It's, you know, I just used to awfulize things so much and confound the misery and the suffering by staying in it and not being in. I think, you know, AA has a thing, you know, about and it's also the Course in Miracles, this holy moment, this sacred now. I'm a big fan of Ram Dass. Be here now, you know, this holy instant. Is it in eternity? If you can be here now, be present, you know, and, you know, get out of a low vibrational situation. And it's true, associating with positive people, I've been putting a lot of effort into having the Dances of Universal Peace here next week. It's a great way of creating joy with others, you know, of being in the holy now and in the eternal present, being with people and raising everybody's vibration. Being at a meeting is a great way of raising my vibration. You know, it's just being able to extend your hand to help somebody else. Stop thinking about yourself and think of serving others. You know, that's a great service you do for people, David, is having this show and putting it out there, and who knows who could be listening. And, you know, because I remember so many times listening, say, to the radio when I was drinking all alone and miserable, you know, and not knowing any of the answers. And there are answers and there are options, and that's the wonderful thing that something like this can do to help people, you know, realize you do have choices. And that's one of the greatest blessings I've ever had, to know that I had choices and I had options, because at one point I didn't have any. And so, you know, today I'm extremely grateful, and you know, I'm having fun decorating my little house for Christmas, putting lights out for the children. I'm a 73-year-old lady, but I enjoy sharing the light with the kids, you know, to keep the hope burning for them, you know. I like to live in the light, not in the darkness, and to create the light. Thank you for letting me share, David, and love talking to you, Kat, and I hope all is well down in Australia. I'm very aware of the sad situations down there with the fires, so I hope you are well and you are safe. Okay?
Thank you. Now, the bushfires are quite close to where I'm, some of them are quite close to where I'm living. And I drove along to an appointment the other day and went past a burnt-out shed and bushland. The smoke haze over Brisbane is very thick, as it is over Sydney. So, yeah thank you. And, it actually was something I was going to say at the end of the show, is that I wanted to thank everybody from North America who's, and the firefighters who've flown down and taken time out of their lives with their families to help us and our families. It's a crisis, and we really appreciate it. We appreciate the help from our brothers and sisters in the North. So thank you.
Well, I'm keeping you all in prayer. I have a friend, a Facebook friend, Carrie Gill, down there in New South Wales. And she's putting up the pictures of the smoke everywhere, and I'm just praying for you guys that the rains will come.
Yeah, rains need to come. People need to be aware of, you know, not flicking their cigarettes out the windows and throwing away things properly, like glass and cans that can, you know, start fires from the lights, from the sun hitting them.
Wow, yeah.
Some fires have started because of natural causes, like lightning strikes, but others have started because of stupidity or lackadaisical attitudes. And I think that it needs to be a worldwide education program on, you know, caring about your environment, and that fire can happen through human lackadaisy. I don't know if that's even a word. But you know what I mean.
Yes, it is.
Times. Let's put it that way, you know. And we need to pull our heads in.
Yes.
I wanted to share something that I found on the internet that I thought was very profound. It comes from a woman by the name of Sandra Ingerman. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, but she has something called the Shift Network, and she proposes 8 simple practices to transform energy. And I'm not going to go into detail on them. These are just suggestions that people might want to keep in mind. And you can find more information about it on blog.theshiftnetwork.com. And the simple practices that she proposes are to breathe. That's one of the simplest ways to transform energy. To set an intention. To think of a precious image, to be aware of the power of words and your use of words, and like Regina was saying, to be grateful, to project strength. She says, don't pity others whom you perceive as suffering. It only pushes them deeper into a hole. When you see people in their divine light and perfection, you help give them the strength they need to deal with their troubles. Something else that I've talked about many times is connecting with nature. I think that's a wonderful way to shift into a positive place and to surround yourself with light. So if somebody is being hostile towards you, just imagine a protective light surrounding you. And so these are some suggestions that she had that I wanted to share. Kat, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, I'd like to say that one of the greatest things that you can do to change your mind from a negative habitual mind to a positive habitual mind is to get into doing something that makes your soul sing, that makes you feel alive, that makes you feel happy. Usually that would be something creative. And it can be mechanically creative, scientifically creative. It can be artistically creative. It doesn't matter in which format the creativity comes. Just the fact that it is being creative is going to get you out of your funk. When you're feeling negative, you may not want to eat properly, but that's the time to do it. Get into some vegetables, get into some salad, get into, if you've only got frozen veg, throw some raw olive oil on that, you know, once you've cooked them, and get those omega-3s into your body. Really focus on your nutrition as a point for self-love. So become creative, focus on your nutrition. And then the other thing you can do next is start to move your body. Going for a walk, getting outside and doing some gardening. Don't go for a walk just to march along and lose weight because most people won't enjoy it. Go for a walk to see what's doing in the bird neighborhood, to see who's having a nest or what little squabbles they're doing. Start noticing who's in your neighborhood that's the bird life. And start making friends with them. Start talking to them. See who owns which tree. And start to become part of your environment and at one with your neighborhood because it's not just humans that live here. Start being curious. Get out. Move your body. Be curious about who's around you because that's also going to help you to feel connected and to start to feel more positive. And you'll have something positive to talk about. You can give them names. You know, there's magpies and crows around me, and I know who they are. I know what trees they live in, and I know when they come to visit the yard because I've gotten used to them in their neighborhood, and they've started to get used to me. start meditating or at least visualizing. So I have a big concert coming up for my music school, and may have noticed over the last few weeks I've had a very croaky voice. I've come through a virus and it really got my voice box. So one of the things I've been doing is visualizing me singing the song that I have to sing for my concert, because it has not been good for me to use my voice much, so I haven't been able to practice as much as I'd like to. That's part of positive thinking, being in the moment of visualization of what you want to do, and you want to do it well. We know it works. Athletes use it all the time. You can visualize, you can zone out. You know, doing the washing up is boring as all get out. Zone out. Think about something positive. Think about a trip that you'd like to do. Go into a fantasy. Fantasies are great. I often fantasize about going to a holiday I had years ago at a tropical place in far north Queensland. I'll go back there and then I'll fantasize that I'm going snorkeling this time, or that I'm going bushwalking this time. And I'll relive that holiday going and doing different activities. It's a great thing. Meditation, formal meditation is great as well, but we can use these other tools to give the mind a break and to get our positive, mental positive pathways going. So if you can imagine that your thought pathways are like creeks and rivers, if we are thinking a lot of negative thoughts, we're really carving those thoughts are like water and we're carving them into our brain. So we want to start feeding the creeks, the positive thought ways, and starving the rivers that are the negative thought ways. And these are the ways to do it. Feed yourself properly. Get outside and see your neighborhood and see who's living there and start being curious and loving where you are. Move your body. Start thinking positively about what you're doing, and have little happy, go to your happy place moments, and then start thinking about things that you'd love to do. And then your inner being will begin to be able to speak to you more, because you'll be in a place where you can listen, and then you'll start doing more and more things that are positive for you, and you'll start getting into a great place in your life. You'll get out of that funk. And look, you're only human. You may slip in and out. We have biorhythms. You may slip in and out of feeling positive and negative. You know, women have hormones. There's one day a month, I'm the dragon woman, and it's because of my hormones. I'm aware of it. Everybody else is aware of it. We just make it a joke. You know, oh, yeah, mum's grumpy today. She's got the grumps on. You know, it's that one day of the month we all know I'm going to be a grumpy old dragon. So we just sort of laugh our way through it. It's taken a long time to get to that point, but that's what we do now. We all know it's there and we accept it. And it's not derogatory towards the fact that this is the body I occupy and this body has hormones and that's the way it is. Men also have hormones and have biorhythms. So be aware of yourself. Be aware of your body. These things really help. Now, I had a long time being depressed because of circumstances, and really cripplingly, and it's taken me a long time to get out of that. But that's the pathway that I've taken, and so I'm telling you that pathway because I know it works, because I've done it.
Thank you, Kat. Thank you. Well, we're toward the end of the hour. Kat, would you be willing to honor us with a meditation tonight?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so take yourself into a comfortable position, wherever you're sitting, if you're laying down. Just get comfortable. Just feel the weight of gravity on the back of your legs and on your backside. And feel the weight of gravity on your feet. And let yourself sort of comfortably slump into that weight of gravity.
And now as you breathe, just start to breathe slower. Deep breath in and out. And in and out. And in and out. And now we're breathing slower and we're feeling the weight of gravity. And as we're in this state of slow heaviness, we're starting to feel as if we're being held. The weight of the gravity is holding us. And it feels safe. And it feels secure. Just breathe into the feeling of being held safely and securely by love. As that gravity holds you in a state of love. And just let the love be wrapping itself around you. Nice bear hug of gravity. It's just holding you there. And let that feel comfortable. Oh, it's so comfortable. And it's so safe. And it's so secure. I'm safe. I'm secure. I am comfortable. I am relaxed. In your deep breath, place your mind in your heart. And there within your heart are the faces of everyone you truly deeply love. Now find a face that you truly deeply love. It can be a plant, an animal, or a human. Find that face. And really visualize that face. And let the natural smile from seeing that face rise up from your heart to your mouth. Let it rise up. Let the smile come over your mouth. And now imagine yourself holding and hugging and making that one that you truly deeply love feel safe and secure and comfortable. And snuggling you're being held by Mother Earth. And now you hold and pass the love on. And let's all feel the hug. And imagine that they pass it on. And they pass it on. And they pass it on until there's a ring of plants and animals and humans all over the world passing on a true deep hug of love. And everybody breathes in and says, ah, ah, ah. When you're ready, put your darling back into your heart. And bring your arms back to yourself and wrap them around your chest. Give yourself a hug. for the rest of the evening and the day. Know that you are loved in this moment, in the forever now. You are safe. You are secure, and you are comfortable in the love and the goodness that is perpetually with you. But now you are fully awake and aware of the love that is surrounding you, holding you, and keeping you. And you can go back into that love anytime and feel the safety, the security, and the deep ah. When you're ready, open your eyes. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Kat. And thank you, Regina, for joining us again.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Okay, everybody. Next week, same time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, U.S. P.M. And it is what time in the morning in Australia, Kat?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. That was my guess. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.